This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Neither you nor your lawyers have been apprised that you are a target of the investigation. Is that true?
Absolutely true.
Have you or your lawyers been apprised that any members of your current or former staff are targets of the investigation?
Absolutely not.
The State Department has redacted and declared 2,101 of your work emails classified, at least at the confidential level, 44 classified as secret, 22 classified as top secret. So you said at a March press conference in 2015, quote, I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified material. So can we say definitively that that statement's not accurate?
No, you can't. Here's what happens. The State Department has a process for determining what is or isn't classified. If they determine it is, they mark it as classified.
Well, who decides?
The State Department
decides. But what about you when you're typing an email?
No, the State Department decides.
Judge was just talking to the television.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It was my fault.
No. We were talking about what she was saying to Brett while it was still running, and it carried on into after the clip ran. So I apologize.
You disagree with what she just said?
Yes. For her to say I neither sent nor received anything marked classified is a word game, because nothing is marked classified.
Right.
It is marked confidential, secret, or top secret. Two, she signed an oath her first day in office in which she said, I understand my legal obligation is to know what is secret, whether it is marked secret or not. I also understand that the failure to recognize that could be criminal in nature. So what makes something confidential, secret, or top secret is not a stamp marked on it. It's the essence of the email. Does it contain information, the revelation of which could harm national security? Let's see. Would photographs of a North Korean nuclear facility, if disseminated, harm national security? Would the names of American spies, particularly moles working for more countries than the U.S., would that harm national security? Would Ambassador Stevens' itinerary in Libya in the 2 days before he was murdered harm national security? Guess what? She emailed all of that in a non-secured server, and she had a legal obligation to know that that would affect national security.
I have a couple of things on that. Number one, what if she did it on the State Department server? Would that be okay?
Yes.
Okay,
that's
secure.
Even though it was classified information, it's going okay.
Yes.
What if it was emailed to a non-secure server, to like steveducey.com?
Then she commits a crime.
Okay, fine. So she could she honestly say that she didn't know what was classified and was not classified, or that they overclassified the State Department?
No, because this is a rare federal crime where the government doesn't have to prove intent.
Judge, you can
commit the crime by gross negligence. If she's going to try and tell a jury there were 2,000 emails that she sent or received that had confidential, secret, or top secret information there, and she didn't know it, only the most hardened Hillary Clinton supporters would believe that. No federal prosecutor would believe it. No FBI agent would believe it. No grand juror would believe it.
And therein lies the whole point of this whole discussion, and why everybody is so brain bruised over this thing, is that Mrs. Clinton insists that no foul play, that she didn't know beforehand. And the thing is, well, I'll tell you, it's what makes her very dangerous, because she seems very credible in her response there with Brett Baer. And you think, okay, well, that seems a bit plausible. I mean, after all, coming from, 50% of the couple that defined the possibility of what was it? Plausible deniability. That's what it was. And, wow, I mean, they found whole new ways to take us into the gray to confuse the issues just so, you know, they can get what they want. Boy, I don't know. I can't wait until this investigation is over with. But frankly, I'm like with so many of you. I don't think she gets indicted. I don't think she does. But that's my humble opinion. It's 5 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got more coming up.
Are you tired of the cold this winter? Are you prepared for the next blizzard or snowstorm? What will you do when the power and heat go off? That could be our future. Fortress Clothing's Bug Out Bag with our head-to-toe solution is your one-step answer to survival in the cold. It doesn't expire, it doesn't go bad, it's lightweight and mobile, and it doesn't just sit on the shelf waiting for an emergency. You can use Fortress today. Be warm and comfortable if you or your family work in the cold. Be warm and comfortable while you play, hunt, fish, camp, ski, paraglide, go sledding with the family, or just shovel the walks. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com is the answer. Your emergency preparedness solution to the cold. Your solution to working or playing in the cold. Visit us at FortressClothing.com and enter RADIO. Buy now and receive your 20% off discount. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com. It could save your life once.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that style? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Hey, well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you 6 minutes after the top of the hour. It's always great to have you along with us as we join the good fight to get this country back on track to deal with the truth of the matter. And, you know, let's make choices based on what we know. I'm very excited, frankly, about this upcoming election because, like never before, the body politic, I know it's creating some brain damage for some people, but the body politic is engaged, even the young people. And maybe for, you know, some of the wrong reasons, maybe the right reasons, whatever. But, hey, look, it opens up the discussion. Let's have a hearty discussion. Why not? That's what this country is all about. That's what has made us so great that we can, you know, talk about it and exercise our First Amendment. Oh, yes, that wonderful First Amendment called freedom of speech. Why not? Well, Dr. Herb London is with us right now. He's the president of the London Center for Policy Research. Dr. London, it's always good to have you along with us. How are you doing, sir?
Well, Bill, very nice to be with you as well. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you, it is interesting times. You know, you love politics, and, you know, it gives you a lot to talk about. I enjoy the conversation myself because, you know, like you, I'm always hoping for something better to come out of the discussion.
Well, I certainly have the belief that these discussions are very desirable. However, I'm very much concerned about the nature of the discussions. It's one thing to engage in a lot of talk. Some of it is demagoguery. Mm. Demagoguery I do not like, in large part because people are susceptible to various claims of do-goodism. And that's a great danger in a democracy, and it's a great danger when you have someone like Donald Trump who is making claims that obviously are not going to be realizable.
Mm-hmm. Well, on both sides, you got bookends. I mean, you know, whether it's the Republicans or Democrats are out there, right?
Thing. I mean, we're going to have free tuition. We're going to have free medical care. Everything is going to be free. It's a little silly. Of course, people will embrace ideas of that kind, largely because that's what they want to hear. But, of course, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because the other side of the equation isn't seriously entertained. Who is going to pay and under what circumstances?
Well, we've been set up, haven't we, Herb? I mean, you know, with the last 8 years, all kinds of things have been given our way, whether it's been Obamaphone, health care, you know, all this under the guise of free, free, free. And then now we're realizing some unintended consequences, but we don't have the full force of it yet. And as a result, people can still be duped.
Well, I think that it's very clear in the case of Obamacare. A lot was promised, but nothing is more expensive than free medical care. So we've learned that already. We've learned from Obamacare what the circumstances are. And what you have with the interesting medical care that the administration has put in place is you have discouraged jobs, you've discouraged economic activity, you put the country in a position where the recovery from the economic recession has been very limited, in large part because this kind of government regulation.
Well, people are quick to use the old Bill Clinton line, it's the economy, stupid. But I think at this point, it's more than that. It's about productivity. You know, we need to be productive again. Get those shackles that have blocked, the progression, job creators, on and on. Everything that has to do with getting America productive again. I mean, we've been stifled. We've been, kicked to the curb. You know, this ridiculous unemployment rate that is cited. You know, it's just, let's deal with the truth.
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, if you were to look at those who no longer seek employment, the actual unemployment rate may be as high as 11 or 12%. Mm. So you're talking about numbers that are very deceptive. The 5% is not a realistic number. It is also true that with the kind of regulatory environment that Washington has imposed, it is very difficult for businesses to get off the ground. The combination of taxes and regulations make it very difficult to start a business. And in many states, you start looking at the tax structure and you scratch your head and say, look, I don't want to work for government. I want to work for myself. I'm happy to pay my taxes, but let's be reasonable about the kind of tax rate you're going to impose.
Well, the other thing along the way, see, what I've been insisting, Dr. London, is that, these people that are no longer part of the alleged, workforce, they're working. They still have to provide. They still got to put food on the table. They're just making money under the table. And we've created a whole nother, black market labor force.
Well, there's a subterranean economy that is very large in the United States for reasons that have already been cited here. But it's also true that there's a very 17% of the American population is getting an earned income tax that is ostensibly on welfare. You've got something on the order of 47 million Americans who are getting food stamps. You've got 28 million Americans who are collecting Section 8 housing. I mean, we're giving an awful lot away. Now, are some of these people in desperate need? Absolutely. And my feeling is that you have to be compassionate and understand that people need assistance. But 47 million Americans getting food stamps, I think what we've become is a nation that really does not understand what the limits are when it comes to government assistance.
Well, and then you have a guy like Bernie Sanders coming on the scene saying, hey, look, there's more. There's no end to this because there's still too many people out there making too much money, in his estimation.
Here again, I mean, if you really believe that the means of production should be controlled by government, then it seems to me you didn't understand what happened in the 20th century. And right. All of the empirical evidence about socialism has been lost on people like Bernie Sanders and 43% of the Democratic Party that believes in socialism. I mean, after all, socialism does provide for equality, but it's equality of misery. So, I mean, the lessons are clear. Do you want to return to the old Soviet Union? Do you want to start looking like Romania? Should we be Venezuela? I mean, it's absurd. The notion that we could be Sweden, which is a homogeneous nation, and a nation organized very differently from the United States, is also absurd. So the idea that socialism is the appropriate direction for America in the future is ridiculous. When Bernie Sanders stands up and says we need one toothpaste manufacturer, why do we need several? Students stand up and they start screaming, yes, 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 why are we wasting all this money? Do they not understand the nature of competition and what is the basis of capitalism? No, apparently not. And this is very frustrating for someone like me. So when you said right at the outset of this program, it's very, very good that we engage in the free exchange of opinion. How about the free exchange of intelligent opinion?
Exactly. Well, and that's what, that's what you hope to rise to, Dr. London, is you have these conversations where, somebody comes out and makes, statements like Bernie Sanders, but there's got to be a counter voice to, bring some reason to what he's saying. Right now, of course, in this hyper, sensitive presidential campaign and season, it's like everything goes, but there's not a voice of reason to, stop him in his tracks and say, are you kidding me? Because he, when you hear him talk, it all sounds very plausible. It's all theoretical. It comes out of the, I say the back rooms of academia, and the coffee rooms of universities around this country where you get all these theorists about saying, hey, wouldn't it be nice? We only have one toothpaste. We'd save so much money. I mean, these people, they don't know how to do the math. They don't understand the free market system. They live in the realm of the theoretical, and that's what we got the last 8 years is, you had a theorist who came into the scene, and he's been driving this country based on theory. The heck with empirical evidence, the heck with history, and now how do you like me?
Well, I mean, you see it in Obama. And you also see it in Hillary Clinton, who, recognizing the fact that Bernie Sanders has done exceedingly well in this primary season, far better than anyone could have anticipated, including yesterday's victory in Michigan.
Exactly.
What she is doing is moving further and further to the left.
It is pretty crazy and scary, no doubt about it. Dr. Herb London, president of the London Center for Policy Research, is with us. We've got more from Herb coming up right after the break. Stay with us, America. It is 14 after the top of the hour.
Faith's leaders everywhere are filled with praise for the young Messiah. Dr. Ted Baer calls it an exhilarating family experience.
We seek a family from Nazareth with a boy named Jesus.
Focus on the Family calls it a remarkable movie.
Why did God choose me? What if I'm not strong enough?
And Hugh Hewitt raves. It's a spectacular movie that should not be missed.
He's just a child.
He is not just a child.
The Young Messiah. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters Friday.
I grew up in a family with 9 kids. I must have been the fastest eater because I was the only one that was chubby. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. When I was growing up, almost no one was overweight. I have maintained my weight pretty well since then. As I get older, the 10 Tuna Chew weight loss system is making it much easier to control my weight. It curbs my appetite, gives me energy, and even improves my mood. Maybe 10 Tuna Chew could help you. Go to ilikethewayilook.com and check it out for yourself. That's ilikethewayilook.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Destroy harmful bacteria, allergens, bed bugs, dust mites, fleas in your home with the Ladybug Steam Vapor System. The Ladybug dies deep on surfaces without any toxic residue. Traditional control agents contain toxic chemicals which do more harm than good. Sanitize and disinfect using just water. Quick, fast, and surprisingly easy.
Find out more now by calling 800-997-6584. Ask for Randy. That's 800-997-6584. Or go to advap.com/GCN. That's advap.com/GCN.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Don't know what's in your drinking water? Better get a ProPure. With the Pro 1G 2.0 all-in-one filter, remove over 200 contaminants, including fluoride and lead. Taste water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure water filtration products. There's a ProPure system for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details on our current free shipping special or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
You've reached Bill Martinez live.
Love me, loves all of you. Love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, welcome back, America. It is me, your humble servant, Bill Martinez, back with you. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. You want to drop me an email. We'd love to hear from you. It comes to me direct, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. And also, with this third hour now that we're coming at you Monday through Friday from 9 to noon, 3 hours every day, Monday through Friday, third hour, we open up the microphone. We're interested to get your response, your input. As Dr. London and I have been talking about, yes, the First Amendment is excellent. It's part of the basis of what makes America great. But I agree, we have to raise the level of conversation in such a way to where we deal with the facts and the truth of the matter. And some say, well, who knows the truth? Come on, you know, I think that's an easy cop-out. Let's be honest about it, and, you know, let's have a reasonable conversation and work this stuff out, because it's not a Republican or Democratic thing. It's about an us thing. It's the United States. And it always works better when we work together. Otherwise, you get Obamacare all over again. How much fun has that been? Dr. London is back with us. Herb, I appreciate your input here and what we've been discussing. You know, this latest article that you wrote about explaining what a brokered convention, we're starting to hear more and more of that. And we're hearing more of that because you've got so many of the quote-unquote, even though people say, well, who is the establishment? I guess these are the people that have been driving the GOP bus traditionally, I guess is what I would cite as the establishment. They're nervous about a Donald Trump candidacy.
Well, there's no question that there's a distinct possibility we'll have a contested convention, a brokered convention, because the 1,237,000 votes doesn't appear to be achievable as long as you have four candidates in the race. Donald Trump has picked up a lot of primary victories, and there's no question that Donald Trump deserves a lot of credit for bringing people into the Republican fold who do not normally vote on the Republican line. Call them Reagan Democrats, call them blue-collar workers. There is no question that he's increased the size of the Republican interest, and that interest is exceedingly important going into the general election. On the other hand, what you're facing is a Donald Trump who has tremendous opposition. Some would say it's the so-called establishment, and I guess some of it is, but it's not only the establishment. There are many Republicans who are very angry at the Republican Party, a party that promised to do great things when it had a majority in both the House and the Senate. When the Republicans gave the entire budget decision to Obama, including $1 trillion that was added to the debt in the United States, it was clear to me that the Republican Party has capitulated. They are no longer a party of opposition. This is a party that plays ball with the Democratic Party. And so I'm angry at the Republican Party, very angry, as angry as any Tea Partier, as angry as anyone in the party. At the same time, I do not understand the Donald Trumps of the world, largely because of the demagoguery, largely because of the empty rhetoric, largely because he doesn't understand the policy issues, largely because he is vulgar. So I am opposed to Donald Trump, not because Donald Trump is anti-establishment, but because Donald Trump is not qualified to be president of the United States, in my humble opinion.
Right. And I understand that perspective, and that is well represented, Herb. And the other part is, you know, like you say, the other part of the coin are Republicans and even Democrats who said, hey, they're fed up with business as usual. And why not get somebody who can turn the tables upside down and really do something about this? Because I don't see this necessarily as a Republican or Democratic thing. I think the problem with our government is more systemic than that, don't you?
Oh, I definitely do. Look, I'm not saying it as a Republican or Democrat either. I don't have a horse in this race, so I'm not on your program to promote a candidate. I'm merely suggesting that I have great reservations about someone like Trump, in large part because I think the positions that he's taking have created an illusion about the future, and they could create great havoc in America and great havoc on the world stage. When he talks about world affairs, it's very obvious to me he doesn't understand the nature of a free market system when it comes to the economy and free trade. He keeps saying, for example, we're rolled by the Chinese. The Chinese are taking advantage of $550 billion in a trade deficit. Well, did you go to Walmart very recently? If you've gone to Walmart, you know that 11% of the trade deficit exists in Walmart. And that's one of the reasons why you pay 20 to 25% less on almost every product, because they're based in China. Mm-hmm. Now, say to the consumer, increase that price by 20 or 25%. How do you feel about that? Because we're going to place tariffs on all of these Chinese products.
Yeah, this
is the other side of the equation. I'm not saying all of the trade with China is desirable. Maybe it isn't. But it, from the point of view of the consumer, one of the reasons why it's occurred is in large part because you're getting more than you would normally get. You get a lower price. You get more than you would normally get for very good products. Again, is that a bad deal for the consumer? That's the way the market works. It's called comparative advantage. Mm-hmm. So if you have cheap labor in China and they're willing to produce products at a lower price, and that price is passed on to the American consumer, in what sense is that bad? It's bad if you look at the trade deficit, only the trade deficit, and say, oh, it's $500 billion, $550 billion. But again, it's always a question of looking at it with a certain kind of understanding and perspective.
Mm-hmm. But to what point does it affect jobs here in America where we're losing jobs?
Again, it always affects jobs. But it affects jobs in both ways. That is, if you have low-level jobs in the United States that are being lost to China, that only means that in an economy that has some vitality, what you have are people moving into jobs that are higher-level jobs, jobs that would pay more, jobs that are different from what you were doing when you're engaged in competition with the Chinese over television sets or low-level electronic equipment. So again, it's always a question of the kind of incentives that exist in the society and how flexible the economy is to make adaptations. Again, it's not as easy to simply say we're being rolled by the Chinese, and that's one of the reasons why we've got to have better trade agreements. It's absurd. It's almost a ridiculous, almost an adolescent view of the trade wars that we're engaged in. So,
well, across the board, Herb, I agree with your statement in principle, but aren't there some things strategically that we can do? For example, you know, the cylinder fiasco of several years ago. I mean, what a mess that was. I mean, who came up with that idea?
Well, it's absurd. The government should not be involved in picking winners in the economy. And this is very often done because what we have is crony capitalism. You don't have capitalism in America. You have crony capitalism. So if someone in the White House raises his hand and says, oh, that's the company that we want to support, largely because they bundle a lot of money for us during the course of the campaign. That's not capitalism.
That's exactly right.
You can call it fascism. You can call it crony capitalism, but it's not capitalism.
But then you irresponsibly take the people's money. You assign it to this company to say, thank you very much for making me president of the United States. And then on the heels of that investment of the people's money, you allow the Chinese to come in and undermine that investment. I mean, how stupid is that?
Well, I think that's very stupid. I think it's exceedingly stupid, and it's a demonstration that this administration, the Obama administration, hasn't the foggiest understanding of how to deal with the Chinese or even how to select or not select companies that are going to play a role in the future of the American economy. This is precisely the problem that I have with Trump. The difficulty with Trump is that he doesn't have an understanding of this either. It's the other side of the equation.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
We can't have a tariff war in the kind of world that we live in now. A 45% tariff on the Chinese products would increase the price of almost everything we consume. Look, I'll just take one product. Take sugar in the United States. We should be spending much less on food in the United States, largely because we have protected the sugar industry in America with tariffs on Brazilian sugar and sugar around the globe. It should be something on the order of 20% less that we would pay for food. But since almost all food has a variety of different sugars in them, including fructose, the fact is we protect those industries. We're saying we're going to make sure that they're successful. No government should do that. We should get out of the protection of the sugar business. We should say, let the market operate here. And if it operated, the consumer would be far better off.
Let's have our sugar produced back in Hawaii like the old days when we were growing up, Herb. How about that, huh?
Well, I mean, I'm all for it. I'm all for fairness. I'm all for freedom. I'm all for let the market operate the way the market should.
Exactly. Yes, Dr. Herb London, president of the London Center for Policy Research. Herb, thank you so much. It's Bill Martinez live at 28 minutes after the top of the hour.
Do you run a business and would like to learn how you can get anywhere from 5,000 to 1 million in 60 seconds? Then let me explain. We're called Capify. We've been loaning and advancing money to businesses for the past 13 years. If your business does at least $120,000 a year, gross sales, we can get you more money to run your business. Our terms are simple, repayment plans are flexible, and based on your cash flow. Plus, the paperwork is minimal, and the approval process is fast. So in the time you've listened to this commercial, you could have learned if you qualify to get up to $1 million in cold hard cash deposited in your business bank account in a few days based off your revenue. Call Capify now and get the money you need.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
With you, America. It's Bill Martinez. Good to have you along with us. If you want to drop me an email, it comes to me direct, bill@billmartinezlive.com. We now come to you Monday through Friday, 3 hours every day from 9 to noon on this GCN radio network. And, of course, you can still get us on your smartphone. That's how smart they still are. And also in over 270 markets, plus on shortwave via WWCR out of Nashville, Tennessee. Ryan McClanahan is with us. He is a well-known author and historian. Dr. McClanahan is the author of The Founding Fathers' Guide to the Constitution, The Politically Incorrect Guide to the Founding Fathers, Forgotten Conservatives in American History, and The Politically Incorrect Guide to Real American Heroes. And we're going to talk about his latest book, Nine Presidents Who Screwed Up America and Four Who Tried to Save Her. Brian, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, hey, great to have you on. So, okay, what was the motivation here?
Well, when I was doing the publicity for my Founding Fathers' Guide to the Constitution, I made a statement that virtually every president in the last 100 years should have been impeached. And people honed in on that, and they said, what do you mean? You know, it was kind of shocking. So I figured I had to write a book to explain my position, and that produced this Nine Presidents Who Screwed Up America. And I used the yardstick by which I think all presidents should be measured, which is, how do they uphold their oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution? That's what
exactly
we should be asking in this election season.
Well, that is a question that has not been asked, and as a result, the executive branch has gotten more and more squirrely over the years, hasn't it, Brian?
Absolutely. You know, you look at presidential power, and it's ever expanding. Really, the last 28 years has been one long slide into Barack Obama. I mean, when Obama stands up and says, I'm not doing anything else somebody else hasn't done, he's exactly right. We have presidents who abuse power at will, and they really don't have no regard for the Constitution. It's embarrassing, to be frank. Because we should be holding these people accountable. Even the people we like, they should be should be held accountable even more so than we often do.
Yeah, without a doubt. Nobody's there stepping up going, hey, just because they did it, it wasn't right then, it's not right now. And the problem with Barack Obama is that he seems to have done everything combined what the previous presidents has done by way of obliterating the Constitution.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Obama has done so many things that are unconstitutional. It's very hard to write a quick chapter on Obama's blatant abuse of power. But, I mean, you take your pick, whether it's not enforcing legislation you should enforce, whether it's bombing Syria without congressional approval, whether it's the non-recess appointments, the executive action when it comes to amnesty and other things. I mean, Obama is way off the rails. But, again, this is a byproduct. He's a symptom of the disease rather than the disease itself. And the disease itself is executive abuse and way beyond what the founding generation thought the president should be able to do constitutionally.
Well, as you say, Brian, this has been a slide that's gone on for quite a while, and Barack Obama's favorite president, Abraham Lincoln, was probably one of the early perpetrators of this loose read of executive order, right?
Well, there's no doubt about it. Lincoln was one of the most controversial chapters in the book, and that's because people like Lincoln so much. But we need to hold Lincoln accountable as well in doing what he did during the war, which was abusing authority when it came to war powers. And so he made a statement that he had to do what was best to subdue the enemy. And that could involve anything. And in fact, a former Supreme Court justice called him out on this with the Emancipation Proclamation. He was actually an abolitionist from Massachusetts. And he said, look, while I agree with the premise of abolition, I cannot agree with how you're doing it because it's unconstitutional. And if we do this now, you're going to open up a Pandora's box that can never be closed. And the general response was, well, nobody cares whether it's constitutional or not. So we have a situation now where the president can do just about anything they want, particularly in wartime. And that's when you see the greatest abuse of presidential power.
And maybe that's one of the reasons why we continue to deal with the civil rights problems that we have today. Is that fair?
As far as Lincoln's abuse of the Constitution,
yes.
I think that there's something with that. I mean, you look at what happened after the war in particular with Reconstruction, the Constitution was being abused all the time. And Andrew Johnson tried to stop some of that, but he wasn't successful. So, yes, I mean, I think when you start talking about executive abuse and you look at how it happened, we can agree that a lot of the things that came out of the civil rights movement, civil rights era, are very good. But we should have done these things constitutionally. And, in fact, I point that out in my chapter on Lyndon Johnson as well. He was doing things that were very much unconstitutional. We like the end result, and that's generally how we rate presidents. We have to look at that Constitution, because if we go beyond it, it opens the door for the other side to abuse power as well.
Who would people be surprised? I know we brought Lincoln up right away, and they're probably surprised that he was one of the presidents who hurt us more than helped us to some degree.
Well, I think some of the others that are very popular, of course, Franklin Roosevelt is very popular among people because of his activities during World War II. But again, there were some real problems with the way he handled the war, domestically and particularly. Teddy Roosevelt is also very popular oftentimes, and he was one who really opened the door to executive abuse as well. I even put, Andrew Jackson and George Washington received a little bit of criticism for a couple of things he did in his second term. So these are people that they're going to read it and say, oh, my gosh, I never thought that about George Washington or Andrew Jackson or Teddy Roosevelt. Even people who like George W. Bush or George H.W. Bush, they received some criticism as well. So this is a nonpartisan look at executive power, and I think it's something we really need to think about. Again, we've got an election coming up. How are we going to rate these presidents, and what kind of person do we want that executive office?
Well, and that's the other thing, too, Brian, that you bring up in your book very clearly, and that is the abuse seems to occur more in two-term presidents in their second administration than their first.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like the second term they don't care anymore, and so they're going to do whatever they want. And perhaps we need to think about that. Maybe we need to limit it to one term and maybe a six-year term. And I propose several amendments that I think could handle some of these problems. But these are things that Americans should consider when we go and pull that lever for that second term. What's going to happen in this term? Is the president, now that they're out for re-election, what are they going to do? And so maybe if they could only get elected one time, they would be open about who they're going to be in that office and not hide what they're going to do the first 4 years and then go completely crazy the second 4 years. So this is a real problem in American politics.
We might find that our presidents could be a lot more productive as opposed to being on campaign mode, about every 18 months, right?
It seems like it. I mean, you know, Obama was raising money for his second term the very first time he stepped into office. And so you have that over all the time. These presidents are cautious about what they do. Heck, Obama was even on a hot mic saying that, hey, if I just get elected again, I can help you out this second term. So we need to think about that and really try to call these people out for what they're going to be to begin with. And again, maybe we could just limit it to one term, extend that out to 6 years. We'd be looking at a much more effective executive branch.
Exactly. And the president saying that on a hot mic, selling we the people up the road to one Vladimir Putin. I mean, you know, what's all that about? And meanwhile, the media again gave him a pass.
They did. And of course, that's the other problem with modern politics. We have supposedly unbiased media, but we know it's not.
No.
I wish we had 19th century media, because at that time, everyone knew who the media supported. It was a pro-Republican or pro-Democrat newspaper or pro-Whig newspaper. You knew it from the beginning. They said, look, this is who we are. This is who we support. So you really had an idea for what their position was before you even read that paper. Now we hide behind this veil of objectivity, and it's really not objective. And, of course, the media is always in the pocket for the people they like, and they're not going to get criticized as much. So it's unfortunate we live in an era where the media just doesn't do their job the way they should.
Well, maybe they need to continue to lose circulation and revenue, and maybe they might wake up to the reality that their responsibility is to the people in documenting history, Brian. I mean, they have walked away from their number one job, and this is why they continue to lose audience.
Oh, I think so. And they also need to realize that real journalism is actually, I think, tough question. Real journalism is sitting down and saying, you know, I like this person, but I need to be critical of them because this is what I'm supposed to do. And that's what I was trying to do with this book as well. I like some of the people I wrote about this book. And so it's very hard to say, well, they did some things wrong. But you have to do that. You have to hold the people you like accountable. And I think if we start doing that, particularly with the executive branch, we could be in a much better situation.
Without a doubt. Brian, you say there are four presidents who tried to save her. We've got a little over a minute left. Who would the four be?
Well, that would be Thomas Jefferson, John Tyler, Grover Cleveland, and Calvin Coolidge. And I actually say John Tyler is the best president in American history because of the way he viewed executive power. In fact, in one of his veto messages, he clearly said, I have an obligation to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. And that's why I'm vetoing this legislation, because it's unconstitutional. So that's very refreshing. The president has a job to do, and that is protecting the Constitution, even from the Congress. And
exactly.
So when the Congress violates its power, the president needs to put them under check as well. We just don't have presidents willing to do that anymore.
Well, Brian, thank you so much. What a great book and a great study. I know this is, this kind of came about because of your earlier books, and a brilliant culmination of what the earlier books had driven you to. Nine presidents who screwed up America, four who tried to save her. Brian McClanahan on Bill Martinez, and we're going to link this on our website as well at BillMartinezLive.com. Brian, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
We
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day. But growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live.
We're back with the America. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. If you want to drop me an email, we'd love to hear from you. Get involved in the conversation, okay? If we're going to get this country back on track, all hands on deck. It's not a Republican or Democratic thing. It's a United States thing. It's all of us involved in getting this country back on track, okay? With us right now, the one and only James Herson, New York Times best-selling author, commentator, media analyst, and law professor. Mr. James, how are we doing, buddy?
Hey, fantastic. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. As you mentioned, we were talking off air here. I'm still on the East Coast in Florida where, all the tech ads all the time, man. They're just coming hot and heavy here.
Yeah, it's an amazing moment we live in. Yeah, and, you know, with the super PACs that are aligned with Marco Rubio, the super PACs that have been formed just for the purpose of stopping Trump, and organizations like the Club for Growth, there's millions and millions of dollars flooding the air with these attack ads to try to bring down the candidacy of Donald Trump. It struck me because I typically, you know, I live in Southern California and I've been working and writing about Hollywood for such a long time. And here I noticed all of a sudden, you know, the Hollywood celebrities, like they got a memo. George Clooney, Susan Sarandon, Bill Maher, Michael Moore, Louis C.K., and Saturday Night Live and their writers all attacking Donald Trump with various name calling. He's a fascist, right winger, racist, etc.
So you don't think that you don't think that's all a coincidence?
And, well, I don't think it is. And then,
I
step back, okay, and I see. I'm used to seeing these Hollywood lefties basically going along with the Democrat Party, with liberal Democrats, and using the same talking points when it comes to their pet issues, you know, when they're talking about the environment, they're talking about gun control, they're talking about, appeasement and that sort of thing. I'm used to that. But then I'm saying, well, wait a second. They sound exactly like the Republican establishment people that have been speaking out the last 48 hours. Mitt Romney, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, the intellectuals so-called National Review. It's interesting because Mitt Romney, in the last few days, has said more and attacked more against Donald Trump than he ever did, even in his campaign or since then, Barack Obama. I mean, this is so striking. It's historical. you know? But here's what's interesting. Okay, the Hollywood left is saying, and a lot of the people in the Hollywood left, at the same time as they attack Trump, they say, well, John Kasich, he's such a gentleman. Or they say, Marco Rubio, I wouldn't mind Marco Rubio. And, of course, Mitt Romney was more explicit. He told the voters, if those voters in Florida, you vote for Rubio. Those voters in Ohio, you vote for Kasich. And the rest of you vote for Cruz. Mm. Do everything you can just to block Trump from getting the number of delegates. And what that all leads to, and what the Hollywood elite is basically maybe inadvertently leading to, is the contested convention, the brokered convention.
Exactly.
And Cruz himself, interestingly, has spoken out against that. So Cruz sees that it's not necessarily in his best interest, and he doesn't want to destroy the Republican Party, maybe. But Kasich has said to Fox News he thinks a brokered convention is cool. And Rubio, of course, he's not speaking out against it now, but he certainly did in 2012, where he said it was the worst possible thing that could happen.
Well, help me remember, James, when has the Republican Party had a brokered convention and they went on to win?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't had a brokered convention in modern history. The last
1976, you know, in a sense, with Reagan and Ford, right?
Yeah, but Reagan, that wasn't because Reagan didn't have the number of delegates. That was different. The last time in a convention where somebody didn't have the delegates and the party bosses appointed someone was Adlai Stevenson in 1952, and it didn't go so well.
It never does. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
You can't discombobulate
the party like that and think you're going to come out swinging unified. I mean, how is
that
going to work?
No, it's a suicide mission for the party because it's very clear that there is this. It's not a small segment. It's much bigger than, you know, the establishment never liked the Tea Party. The establishment never liked, you know, hardcore conservatives. This group is much, much bigger than that. It includes people who normally support Republicans who say they're independent. It includes Democrat crossovers. It includes new registrants in the party. It includes minority members in the party. A huge swath of working people. What's left of the middle class.
Yes.
And the CNN poll recently showed that it was 49% that support Trump. This is not a small number.
No,
so what would happen, it's the destruction of the Republican Party and what these guys like Karl Rove, like Mitt Romney, like the so-called intellectuals at National Review and stuff are saying, if we can't have it our way, we quit. We're taking the ball home and we're going to support Hillary. Because that's effectively what's going to happen if the party power brokers take over this contested convention and appoint someone. Oh, and you know, Mitt Romney says, I'm available. He says, you know, I'm tanned, rested, and ready. If you need me, I'll come in. They'd have to change the rules to do that, but they can.
Yeah, put me in, coach. Yeah, the thing is, you know, the thing that really caused me to take a step back, and I thought you were going to bring up here, James, again, at the last GOP debate, they're asking, you know, Brett Baer is asking the question, hey, are you willing to support whoever gets nominated? I mean, what's the point of that question at a Republican-sponsored debate from a, you know, an alleged conservative media outlet? Why are they continuing to, you know, poke everybody in the eye about this situation as if they're trying to create some controversy? You know, maybe in the background it's there, but why bring it to the foreground? I just think that that's, you know, you
well,
talk
it was
about
clearly
committing suicide.
The Fox panel and the Fox approach to the debate, they have been more aggressively against Trump than CNN was. They've been more aggressively, and their programming has. I mean, Megyn Kelly's, it's no secret.
Right.
She has cherry-picked her guests to make sure that Trump is bashed every night.
And but you got O'Reilly supporting Trump. Hannity's in the tank for Trump big time, and Greta Van Susteren. And so the only one you have,
and Judge Jeanine is supporting Trump. But you know who's against, has been against him from day one is Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah.
And so that's a pretty big voice. And even Hannity and O'Reilly have to tread lightly because they always have to bring on the counter view. But it's really been, Donald Trump has been attacked and is being attacked like no one I've ever seen in my lifetime. I think it's because, look, he goes on the debate stage and he's double teamed by Cruz and Rubio and the panel, and they're bringing up videotapes of his sound bites, charts and maps and graphs and holographic images and whatever. I mean, they were out to kill him.
It's a bit obvious, isn't it?
It is. And here he's also facing this array of super PACs. But here's a real interesting dynamic that has sprung up. Now, you know what? We need 1,237 delegates to avoid any kind of manipulation by the power brokers, by the Republican elitists, the donor class. Well, Cruz has now scored wins in Kansas and Maine, and he's likely to win some more states. So let's take some hypothetical numbers. Let's say that we get to the convention and Trump is close, but he hasn't quite made the 1,237. Hey, let's say he has 1,000 or plus delegates. Mm-hmm. Let's say Cruz has about 500. Well, they're going to be looking at each other and saying, especially the guy who wrote The Art of the Deal.
Yes.
And they're both going to have olive branches. And yeah, you know, Cruz in the beginning might say, gee, Donald, I'd be willing to take you as a running mate. And Donald would say, no way. And they'd have a negotiation. At the end of the day, they could take the power away from the power brokers because they'd have more than enough delegates. And that's the way you were just talking about 76. That's exactly what happened in 76. There was no contest because, you know, Reagan worked it out. I mean, Reagan, it wasn't Reagan that worked. Ford worked it out.
Ford, yes, exactly.
But you've noticed in the last speech that Trump gave on that Super Saturday, he very cleverly changed the conversation by asking Rubio to drop out. He very cleverly characterized the Maine win. He said, well, I can understand why Ted won that, because it's close to Canada. He changed the conversation,
yes.
But he also was very kind to Cruz. Meanwhile, it has leaked out that the Cruz campaign is going into Florida big time. They're going to be attacking Rubio, helping Donald Trump.
Yeah, they set up a ground game because they know if they take, if Trump wins Florida, winner take all, then, you know, Rubio's done.
And that what Cruz wants is the same thing Trump says he wants, although he's being clever. One-on-one, see, mano a mano. That's why Trump did that, because Cruz now is his ally against Rubio. And then this end game is starting to become, it's not a secret, the people in the Cruz campaign are thinking, hey, maybe, you know, this is way in. Obviously, people like Chris.
Well, James.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.